Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the podcast, we are winding down our series of fantasy football team previews, this time previewing the San Francisco 49ers with benefit of three of their preseason games. Of course, I need to tell you guys about all the stuff that we have going on over at rotoexperts.com. I just released our ultimate guide to win your draft in 2019. We have our ultimate guide to zero RB drafting. We have the perfect draft. Really, everything that you need to win your league in fantasy football in 2019 is on rotoexperts.com. Now, starting off at the quarterback position, Jimmy Garoppolo, starting quarterback, backed up by two guys who we saw play last year, Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard. I don't think any of them could be described as elite NFL quarterbacks yet. I'm pretty intrigued by Jimmy Garoppolo because he's been in the NFL for 5 years, and we just have no idea who he is. He's only started 10 games, appeared in 26, only 361 passing attempts over those 5 years. So it just seems like he's been in the NFL for a long time, but we don't really know what he is in terms of being a finished product. He has 2,968 passing yards in his career, 17 passing touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. Played in only 3 games last year, and really played only 2.5 because he tore his ACL in the Kansas City Chiefs game, but it appears that he is back and healthy for the 49ers this year. Didn't really look great in the preseason until week 3, where he kind of tore up the Chiefs through a really beautiful pass to Matt Breida on a wheel route that was converted into a touchdown. But he just is not really a guy that anyone should be excited about drafting, which is sort of interesting because he was being drafted as a top 10 quarterback last year. Before he got injured, he was going at like quarterback 9, right? So people were getting very excited about Jimmy Garoppolo in fantasy leagues last year, and there's just not really that same sort of optimism does not abound for him this year, partially because I think the 49ers just looked so bad last year. You know, they just were not a very good offense. They finished 21st out of 32nd in points for. Their expected win-loss was really bad. They won only 4 games all year. They play in a division that is pretty defensive. So there's a lot of reasons why I would understand drafters not being particularly interested in Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Really, the only scenario where I find myself drafting him is in draft best balls, where our group of running quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Cam Newton, when those guys get drafted early, Dak goes in the 9th round, Cam goes in the 8th, Kyler goes in the 7th, Lamar goes really early. That would be an example of a draft where I would be fine leaving with Jimmy, but it's not like you head into any draft going there, partly because everyone has to have some fear, some small fear that he's going to get benched by Shanahan for Nick Mullins or CJ Beathard. Last year, Mullins had 8.3 YPA. Beathard had 7.4. Those are both, well above league average digits. So it's not like those dudes were, unplayable, but not a ton of interesting conversation to be had at the quarterback position. Pretty unlikely that, whoever the San Francisco 49ers quarterback is, it seems unlikely that guy is going to lead you to, a fantasy football championship. Certainly, I think Jimmy could be an okay streamer. Maybe he would show a little bit of something, over 16 games that we haven't seen from him in a smaller sample, but like, he's not a guy who runs. He has 48 rushing attempts over 5 years in the NFL, averages 1.1 yards per carry. So not like he has upside in that department either. Moving to the running backs, now the team with Jerick McKinnon, I think we're imagining that he's going to go on the injured reserve. This is going to be a two-man backfield with Tevin Coleman in the starting role, Matt Breida as the rotational back, who also has some third down responsibilities. Would also likely expect Raheem Mostert to make the roster. However, he is currently on concussion protocol, but with Jerick McKinnon questionable. Mostert is going to make the roster, and he is, because he's like one of the best special teams players in the NFL. So I would imagine that their roster is going to be Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, and then perhaps McKinnon avoids injured reserve, but we're not really expecting Jerick McKinnon to play much for the San Francisco 49ers in 2019. He's been doing individual drills. He was shut down. He got a PRP injection in his surgically repaired knee. The Athletic's Matt Barrows, who is obviously the beat writer for the Athletic for the 49ers, projects that McKinnon is going to open the season on the injured reserve. So they prematurely took him off the active PUP list. So basically what that means is that if McKinnon is going to remain on the team, he either has to be an active player or he has to be put on the injured reserve. But all of this serves as a long and extended way to say you should really be drafting Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida in, you know, a good percentage of your leagues. It's so crazy how Matt Breida is viewed as this soft, injury-prone guy. He played in 14 of 16 games last year. He had 153 rushing attempts, 5.3 yards per carry, 31 targets, averaged 8.4 yards per target. He missed no games when he was at Georgia Southern in college, and he was an amazing player at Georgia Southern. He missed no games his rookie year, but just to give you guys an idea, so at Georgia Southern, Breida had 171, 203, and then 168 carries. Like, those are all good numbers, and he played with NFL quality players while he was at Georgia Southern, and I really could not be more complimentary of Matt Breida. I think he's a great player. I think he probably is one of the most undervalued guys in fantasy football drafts right now. I think that he should be a top 100 pick right now. His ADP is definitely later than that, and I actually would not be surprised if at the end of the year he ends up with more total touches or more total fantasy points than Tevin Coleman, because I think Tevin Coleman is more likely to fit into that kind of grinder back role, and Breida and Coleman can also be used interchangeably because they both have, kind of similar playing styles. But for example, last year, Alfred Morris had 111 attempts and he had 13 targets. Jeff Wilson had 66 attempts and 15 targets. I think if you combine the Alfred Morris, Jeff Wilson stat line, and then you combine the Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert stat line, which was 34 carries and 7 targets, I think you can get a pretty decent picture of what the backfield for San Francisco might look like. I also think it's probably pretty likely that Kyle Juszczyk just gets a little bit less work in the passing game this year than he has in years past. 41 targets last year, 42 the year before. He had 49 and fit crazy 56 targets. I'd forgotten about this. 56 targets for Baltimore in 2015. So that's pretty wild from Kyle Juszczyk. But I think both Coleman and Breida are great buys at their average draft position right now. If I was drafting, kind of over this next week from August 22nd to September 1st, Breida would be a guy who, I'd put in my notes before we started that, like, okay, I really want to leave the draft with this guy. So that is how we view their running back situation. Moving to the wide receivers, no San Francisco 49ers wide receiver last year saw more than 66 targets. That was Kendrick Bourne. Pierre Garçon had 46 targets in 8 games. Dante Pettis had 45 targets in 12 games. Marquise Goodwin got benched at the end of the year and was really only a situational player after Jimmy Garoppolo got injured. He had 43. Trent Taylor, who broke, I believe, his ankle or maybe his hand. I will look that up right now while we're doing this. But he had a limited number of targets as well, 41. Matt Breida had 31. Jeff Wilson, 15. Richie James had 14. Richie James, actually, just some news just broke that it's pretty likely that he is going to make the team. Yeah, Trent Taylor has a Jones fracture in his foot. Probably pretty unlikely that he's going to start the season on the active roster. So when you get to breaking down the San Francisco 49ers' targets in the passing game, really what you're looking at is, are any of these guys going to come close to, you know, what happened in the 2017 season with the San Francisco 49ers win. Marquise Goodwin was able to get 105 targets. Garcon had 67. Kittle that season as a rookie had only 63 on it. So it's just crazy. On 599 attempts, they had only one player who got over 100 targets that season. And the same was true last season. On 514, they had only one guy over 66 targets. So looking at the average draft positions for guys like Dante Pettis, it just seems completely undraftable to trust those guys in, you know, the top 100 picks, whereas some of these other guys are basically free. You know, you can get Marquise Goodwin 190th overall. He's pretty interesting to me, and I think even in deeper formats, there's probably some reason to draft Jalen Hurd, Deebo Samuel, Jordan Matthews. Like, I wouldn't take any of them in best ball drafts simply because I think there's so many different ways that the wide receiver rotation could break out. You know, Kendrick Bourne could lead them in targets again. Marquise Goodwin could have another resurgent season. Jalen Hurd or Deebo could prove to be ready. Maybe Trent Taylor is the starting slot wide receiver. Maybe it ends up being Max McCaffrey. You know, all of these things are firmly in the range of outcomes, and I think this is one of the most non-predictable wide receiver rotations in the entire NFL. So I really, outside of Goodwin, in, you know, deep kind of best ball formats, I'm really staying away from everyone. The tight end position, not a ton to say here. George Kittle is, you know, the second best tight end in fantasy football. We have him projected meaningfully ahead of Zach Ertz, you know, a round or two ahead of where our projections have Zach Ertz. But we also have him meaningfully behind Travis Kelce, mostly because we expect the Kansas City Chiefs offense to be much better than the San Francisco 49ers offense. But, you know, end of the second round, beginning of the third round is really the right range to take George Kittle. And, you know, we have no arguments taking him there. Overall, the approach that we would take to drafting the San Francisco 49ers is to really focus on Matt Breida and Marquise Goodwin. They're both big parts of, you know, the portfolio of myself, Drew Dinkmeyer, Michael Leone, and Colin Drew, all of us who are drafting a lot of teams in the Draft Best Ball Championship. We've really invested in Breida and Goodwin in particular, Kittle a little bit less, Tevin Coleman a little bit less. I kind of wish that I could go back in time and talk to the version of myself that was passing on Tevin Coleman at like 64, 65 overall and just say, you know, obviously Jerick McKinnon's going to get hurt. So this is a pretty clear value. But unlike a lot of these other teams where injury situations have kind of robbed the value, I do not believe that that is the case with San Francisco now. I think Coleman, Breida, and Goodwin are all like very good values and should continue to be drafting. So that will do it for the San Francisco 49ers fantasy football team preview. Of course, please make sure to check out rotoexperts.com to see all of our expert projections, rankings, and all the premium content, the ultimate guide to win your fantasy football league, the ultimate guide to zero RB drafting, and much more.